Thank you, Dan. That's a good choice of songs. Thinking of the greatness of our God and creation and in so many different ways. Jim was mentioning about the Congo. I heard on the news that apparently the Rwandans have withdrawn their army from the Congo with some type of an agreement. I don't know if anyone's heard that or not. I didn't know if it affected that area or not. Did you hear anything of that? We've looked at a couple of Thursday nights in the book of Philippians concerning being steadfast. Being steadfast. And we looked at being steadfast in the Lord, Paul admonished the believers in the church of Philippi. And then to be steadfast in the Spirit. In Philippians, the book of Philippians as well. I thought tonight we might look at another portion that has that thought in it. In Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. And verse 13. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Thought we might look at the thought of standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Or to stand fast, to stand firm, to adhere to, and I was relating it to the aspect of adhesive, of sticking to the things of the Lord. And we're to adhere to the liberty which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. A little bit of a background that we see that there were those who came down from Jerusalem, those of the Jews, and proclaiming that unless one was circumcised, they could not be saved. They could not be justified before God unless they were circumcised and keep the law. And Paul is refuting that teaching in this book, and so we see that in Paul's closing part of the book, he's reminding them to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. It was a time about a year ago that you heard the word of liberty much more than before. And our liberty, our freedom of our country was attacked, wasn't it? And we reminded so often of the liberty that we have in this country and the many freedoms. The liberty and justice for all. Liberty has the thought of simply being free, isn't it? Simply being free. not in bondage, not in bound by anything, but to have a true-hearted sense of being free. The law was brought bondage to man, didn't it? Through the law, the sentence of death was pronounced upon man. We find that in the book of Romans and Paul's writings concerning law versus grace. Through law could bring only the pronouncement, the sentence of death upon man. But grace brought freedom, brought liberty. And here we find that there were those who were putting themselves back under the law. And Paul says that in verse 2, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Number of words here is in contrast. You see the law versus grace, freedom versus bondage, spirit versus fleshly, and so on. But if you hold to the teaching of being circumcised and having to be circumcised in order to be saved, Paul is saying that Christ profits nothing. It's either all of Christ or nothing. And you know, so often today that there are those who are seeking to bring themselves under the bondage of the law, legalism. And we see that Paul calls it to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And the law, of course, is spoken of here as the yoke of bondage, a heavy yoke that is placed upon the shoulders of man is what the law is seeing here. And Paul says that if you hold to the fact that you have to be circumcised in order to be saved, you're bringing that yoke of bondage upon yourself. And notice what he says that if they hold to that in verse 3, then he's a debtor to the whole law. James tells us that if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you're guilty of all. So Paul says, if you're going to hold to the fact of you have to be circumcised in order to be saved, then you have to keep the whole law. And in doing that, the Lord Jesus Christ profits nothing. So often today, liberty is abused, isn't it? We see it even in Christian circles. Christ has paid the debt for all of our sin. He's fulfilled the law. We no longer live under the works of the law, but we live through the spirit of faith, don't we? And he's called us into liberty. But so often liberty is abused today, isn't it? Amongst Christians. We can abuse the liberties that God has given to us. And we're going to look at that in several of the other verses here. God has called us through his Son to liberty, to be free. But it's possible that we can fail to see the true liberties that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. The law brought bondage. Thou shalt do such and such. Thou shalt. There was a task But we have the Spirit of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that is within us through the Spirit of God. And we have a conscience before God of right and wrong. We have a witness with our spirit to His Spirit that we're the sons of God. And God has called us into liberties. But sometimes we can put ourselves under bondage by falling into the things of the world and being bound by the things of the world and Satan. And fail to recognize the freedom we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world wants to draw us into bondage. Christ wants us to see the reality of the freedom and the liberties that is ours in Him. Yes, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's the one that draws us into the liberties, into the joys and the blessings as a child of God. I'd like for us to look at so many portions concerning the law, but I'm just going to go to Luke chapter 4. We see again the word liberty is found. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Lord Jesus is beginning His earthly ministry, and He stands up in the synagogue and He reads from the book of Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. We'll read verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I did a little bit of study onto this, just looking through different writers and comments on this portion. And if you go back to Isaiah 61, where the word liberty is used is in relation to the prisoners that are set free from prison. And this one man suggested that where he says that they would set at liberty the prisoners that were bound in prison, he uses the thought from Leviticus 25, the year of Jubilee. Now the 50th year was the year of liberty, according to the Jewish calendar and the early calendar and so on. At the end of the 49th year, in the beginning of the 50th year, there were restitutions that were done. Prisoners that were in prison were set free. And in regards to possessions amongst family and property and so on, would be redeemed at that time in that year. And it was a year of liberty. And when we see here that this was the time, the year, when the Lord Jesus Christ began His earthly ministry, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That was the year, the Jubilee year. He uses that as an illustration to get across the point to those Jews that were there in the synagogue that this is the year, the time when liberty would be seen. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he preached liberty to those that were bound in prison, those that were bound in chains. And we see many times where there were those that were healed and were bound by Satan, demonic powers and so on, and he set them free. And we saw the blind was made to see. And this was part of his ministry, that he preached liberty. And he showed liberty to those in his ministry. And you know, that's what he's done for you and I, hasn't he? He's shown us the liberty, the freedom that we have, free from sin. We often sing the song, "Free from the Law, Happy Condition." Jesus provided there is remission. And we've been set free from sin, haven't we? His death on the cross of Calvary was sufficient to pay for your sin and mine in full. There's nothing we can do to forgive our sins, to save our soul. There's nothing we can do to add to our salvation. But the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. His shed blood on the cross of Calvary has brought to us freedom, liberty from sin. And this is what the Lord Jesus came to do in his public ministry and his on the cross of Calvary and his shed blood there. In the Old Testament, under the law, everything in the tabernacle pointed forward to that one who would bring liberty, who would deliver them from the bondage of the law and give them liberty and freedom in him. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Here Paul accounts to the fact of when the law was given to Moses, was a veil that was put upon his face. His face shone so brightly, and there was a veil upon his face. Now notice in verse 12, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that same Spirit, for the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." When God gave Moses the commandments, when they were written by the finger of God on the stones, while Moses was in his presence, God's glory was there, wasn't he? His presence, his glory was seen there on the mount. In spite of the fact that God had given the law, I shouldn't say in spite of the fact, in the light of the fact that God had given Moses the law, at the same time, he saw the glory of God. And I think it's so interesting because God's glory would be seen when the law was abolished. And there was always that down through time as that God's glory would again be seen. And it was seen in Mount Transfiguration, wasn't it? When the disciples were there and the glory of the Lord that shone around them, and it was so bright, above the brightness of the sun. And his glory was seen again in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with the law. It was with the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would soon go to the cross and give his life there. But we see that the veil that was upon Moses' face when he came down from the mount, people did not see when his glory was removed from him. The veil covered that over his face. It was in God's time that the law was abolished. In the death of his son on the cross of Calvary, when he fulfilled the law was no longer in effect. The Lord Jesus brought to us spirit and life, peace and joy and his wonderful grace. Even to this day, there's a veil upon the heart of the people of Israel. When they read the Old Testament, they do not see the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul reminds us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. You know, it's through the working of the Spirit of God that one can be saved, isn't it? Not by the law, for what the law could not do, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. The law could not bring the Spirit of God within us. It was through the work of redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ, the working of the Spirit of God who lives within us, that once we're saved, comes and dwells within us, he brings to us liberty. Where the Spirit of God is, the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Now, let's go back to our portion in Galatians again. The evidence of liberty is found in verse 5. Let's read verse 4 again. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. If you say that you're justified by the law, then you've fallen away from grace to the law, haven't you? For those that were teaching that in order to be circumcised by the law of Moses, they couldn't be saved. But Paul says if you're teaching that you're justified by the law, then it's no longer grace. You've fallen away from grace, and you've fallen to law, to the works. And we see in verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Righteousness could only come to one soul by faith. In the working of the cross of Calvary. The Spirit of God bringing conviction of sin by realizing that righteousness can only come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, the evidence of liberty is found in the righteousness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by the law, the works of the law, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Law, the law could not produce love. The law said, "You do this, do that." But the Lord Jesus came, and one of the greatest commandment that he gave was to love one another, wasn't it? Faith which worketh by love. And that's an evidence of the liberty that is ours in Christ Jesus, is faith that works by love. Not faith that works by law, legalism, the works of the law, but it's faith that works by love. The Lord Jesus, it was said of him that he, in him is life, and the life is the light of men. And as John writes, he says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. A tremendous thought when we think of it. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We have so much, as a child of God, that we enjoy in his liberty, in realizing that our faith is based upon him and upon his finished work and what he came to do. Faith which worketh by love. The operation of faith, the practice of faith, is seen by love. It's seen by love in one's heart and love for one another. The Lord Jesus emphasized so much concerning love. And the greatest commandment, that we're to love our neighbor as ourself and love one another. The law could not produce love, but faith could through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have another evidence of liberty in verses 13 and 14. We've been called unto liberty. We've been called to liberty. God has called us into liberty. You know, the bondage of this world, sin, and the temptations of this world can draw us away. We fail to really appreciate and enjoy the liberties found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often, that happens in the life of a believer, unfortunately. We fail to see the liberties that is ours in Christ, the things that God wants us to enjoy as we walk with him. He says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Don't use liberties to the occasion of the flesh, to the satisfaction of the flesh, to satisfy our own selfish desires. Well, use liberty to that occasion. Paul reminds them. Don't put yourself under the law when the Lord has redeemed you from the law and given you so much more and so much greater. And we can put ourselves under the works of the flesh by falling to the things of the world and listening to the world, listening to the temptations and falling for the things of the world. We're giving occasion to the flesh, and how sad it is. Notice he says, "But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Evidence of liberty is seen in the fact that we love one another, that we serve one another, and by love that God has put in our hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ, it's through His love that we love one another. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do we really love Him? Do we really love the Lord as we ought? How can we experience His liberties unless we truly love Him? And then do we show love one toward another? The law could not produce the true love. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could give to us His perfect love and a perfect example of His love. And Paul is reminding them that the law could not produce love. It was only through the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross of Calvary and what He has done in fulfilling the law could His love be experienced. And then we see the evidence of liberty is in His love. And then the evidence of liberty is seen in the fact in verse 16, we're to walk in the Spirit, shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We walk in the Spirit. We so close communion with the Lord that we sense we're truly walking in the Spirit. There's a sense within our heart that we're truly walking in His liberty, in the light and the evidence of the Spirit of God. We sense His Spirit about us, revealing to us the things of His Word. Not only His love, but the evidence of walking in His Spirit. These are true characteristics of the life of a believer as he experiences the liberty that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Psalm 119 and verse 45. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will walk at liberty, for I will seek thy precepts. You know, if we're truly seeking God's ways, we're truly seeking His Word, we're truly spending time in His Word and following His Word, we will walk in liberty. If we truly seek to know His Word and seek communion with Him and fellowship with Him day by day, we'll know when we're giving occasion to the flesh and taking advantage of the liberties that is ours in Christ. But He reminds us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to walk in liberty. He doesn't want us to be in bondage. He doesn't want us to be a taskmaster, but He wants us to be free. A free servant for Him. To know truly the liberty that is ours in walking with Him day by day and moment by moment. Truly we have much to be thankful for. I was thinking of the song number 543. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into Thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. To the glorious gain of Thy cross, Jesus, I come to Thee. You know, He wants us to come to Him, doesn't He? Out of our bondage, sorrow, and night, He wants us to come to Him. Come, and He wants us to give us the liberty, to experience the liberties that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have a license to take advantage of the liberties, but He's given us the liberties through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His finished work on the cross of Calvary. And I trust that we will realize that the greatest of all is love one another, to show love and to walk in His Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let's just close in prayer.